Thank you. Well, I definitely want to thank Steve for the opportunity. And I want to thank God for the privilege we have to know his word, rightly divided the way we've been taught, and for the great opportunity and privilege we have to be able to trust him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to know that he will back up his word in every single situation that we ever call upon him for. And that's our great opportunity and privilege. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, since it's the theme verse for this fellowship. You know, it's not easy to trust anybody, really. I grew up in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you're taught from the day that you're born, you don't trust anybody. Your father tells you, your mother tells you, your friends tell you, don't trust anybody. And then we get in the Word, and the first thing we learn is, trust God. So there's a transition that has to take place for all of us. We have to, maybe you weren't brought up that way, or maybe you weren't, if you were brought up in New Jersey, you were brought up that way. But if not, then that's great, then you don't have a transition to deal with. But for some of us, this is quite a challenge. It sounds really simple because God is God, and all I have to do is trust him, and great, everything will be awesome. And that's true. The challenge is to trust him. So I want to present to you some of God's word today regarding God's trustworthiness. God is trustworthy. Before you ever trust anyone, you would expect that that person, or God in this case, would be trustworthy, right? It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, or trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. How are we doing here? Okay.
We're doing good.
Okay. Okay, so we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That means you don't try to figure it out. That means you trust in God and allow him to take the responsibilities that are at hand. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So I, you know, as you probably would if you were here, I looked up the word trustworthy. And it says, trustworthy, worthy of trust. That's good. But trust is a firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. We are to have a firm reliance on the integrity of God, his ability, and his character. And I think that's kind of cool because God has earned that. And the Word of God throughout pointedly teaches us that God has earned that trust. What he says he means, what he means he says. Look at Numbers chapter 23. You know, I'm still at the place sometimes in my life where you could fool me once, that's shame on you. But if you fool me twice, that's shame on me. But see, we can't bring that distrust, that attitude of mistrust to God's word. Because when we're like that, then we have a whole habit pattern of being self-reliant, not willing to give up our heart in order to make things happen for us according to God's word. We gotta learn to let it go, man. Gotta learn to let God have his way. And I'm not a master at this, but I know what the word says, and all I could do like you is endeavor to do my best to make this a reality in my life. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? It's pretty clear from God's point of view that he is trustworthy. From God's point of view, that he is trustworthy. He claims he doesn't lie. He claims that no matter what he says, he does. That he will always fulfill his word. That's what he says. He thinks he's trustworthy. Now, we need to get to the place in our lives where we can honestly evaluate. Is he trustworthy? And if he is, then we need to let it go and learn to trust him, okay? Not that hard. Sometimes I have in my few, you know, the years I've been doing this, I'm not like one of those guys who says, well, I've been doing this for 13 years and 6 months. I need Chrissy to help me with this all the time. But sometimes I have trusted God. I really have. And in those times, I have seen God bring really crazy things to pass, almost impossible. Sometimes, really honestly, like you maybe, I haven't been so willing. But you know what? The bottom line is, when we do trust God, he will always bring it to pass. I have never, ever been disappointed when I have put my trust in God. Never. And neither has anybody else who's ever believed God throughout the history of time. And neither have you. So the key is to get our minds lined up with God's word and just trust him. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi. That's somewhere right before the New Testament here. Well, we'll get there. Malachi 3, there we have it. Verse 6. This is a great one. They're all great. I am the Lord, I change not. So all the great things that God's done, all the awesome things that we know about, all the promises that he's fulfilled, he's still that same God. He does not change. The God that opened up the Red Sea, the God that fed the people with manna. We get a little uptight occasionally. We need to rent. These people were in a desert. They needed food. And God just rained it out of the sky. Now, we could laugh about that, but it's true, isn't it? This is our God. This is who we have committed ourselves to believe. This is who we endeavor to serve. This is God. And he does not change. When he says something, he will bring it to pass. Go to Genesis chapter 1. He is not a man that he should lie. He is trustworthy. What comes out of God's mouth comes to pass every single time. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. Guess what? Light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God is just speaking. Things are coming into existence. We have to understand this about God. He has that kind of ability. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. This is God. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. We know all these things were so. We know these things are true because they're still in existence today. How else would they be there? I mean, there are many theories. But come on. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. He created great whales. That means there were no great whales. And then God created great whales. This is important for us to know. If we are going to deem God to be trustworthy, it's important for us to realize the capabilities that he has. He could call into existence that which never was before. He could just speak it into being. This is our God. This is who we rely upon. He is trustworthy. We have to get to the point where we are convinced about that in our lives. So he created these great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it that it was good. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. This is amazing. These things God just spoke into being. And you know what? The things in your life that God has made promises about, he could speak deliverance into. He already has spoken the deliverance into being. All you have to do is pick up on it and embrace it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It's our tendency to lean onto our own understanding. It's incorrect. It's wrong. We're to trust in God. The Word of God is a living reality. It's not just a book. It's a living reality. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Glad he did that. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the creep, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. This is who we're called upon to trust. He's trustworthy. It's really not that hard. It's not that complicated. We don't have to be smart or anything. We just have to trust him. Get the information and trust it. Trustworthy. He's worthy of trust. He has, I would say he's earned it, right? Genesis chapter 12. So we're going to look at a record of God's word where he promised a man in an impossible situation. And we're going to watch God work with a man like you who was called upon to trust God. In Genesis, I said, right? Chapter 12. Genesis 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, we know from the church epistles in Romans 15:4 that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, right? Because the hope is something that we want to be able to trust in. God is trustworthy, and we want to identify with that. We want to be trusting of him. So here he's talking to a man. This could be any man, but it happens to be this guy, Abram. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's pretty cool. He's talking to this guy, and he's telling him, I'm going to make you out of you. We're going to have a great nation to come to pass. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoke to him. He heard it. He said, that's cool. And Lot went with him. Here's the little catch, though. Abram was 70 and 5 years old when he departed out of Haran. He was 75. 75 is kind of pretty deep into a lifespan, right? And Abraham gets this promise, and okay, well, fine. And you know what? God is called to task here. God has to bring this to pass. And that's pretty neat. We talk a lot about how great Abram's believing was, and it was. But what about God, who took this 75-year-old dude and turned him into a nation? It's pretty cool. Let's look at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came upon Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Now, Abram starting to say, wait, well, 75 has got to be a little older here. And yet, no kids. What's going on here? So this happens to us sometimes, right? But you're always entitled, with God, he's very gracious. You're always entitled to bring your mind back. You're always entitled to declare his trustworthiness inside of your heart. Say, this is God. I'm sticking with this. He can't let me down. He's trustworthy. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that cometh forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Okay, Abram, look, he's reassuring him. He's reassuring him about his willingness to carry out his promise. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. This is pretty interesting. In New Jersey, we don't see a great many stars in the sky, have you? I mean, like, I go out sometimes looking, and I count them, like, 10, 12, 14. But when you're in places where the stars manifest themselves, there are many. They're countless. The sky is just filled with them. And God points them out. He reassures them. God is going to keep his word, and he's going to do that for you. The promises that he's made in his word to you are yea and amen. He will fulfill those promises. He is trustworthy. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Then in Genesis chapter 17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? A couple of years have passed here. Now he still doesn't have the promise fulfilled. And sometimes in our lives, we pray, we claim a promise, and then we say, what? No fulfillment? What's the deal here? I thought God was trustworthy. He is. He's just not operating according to your particular timetable. He's trustworthy. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. He is not a liar. God does not lie. If he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Sarah that is not... Oh, here. Okay. So he's going to be born to this guy, 100 years old. And shall Sarah that is 90... And I don't blame Abram. I mean, I'm kind of... Not quite, maybe a little more than half his age. But anyway, I don't blame him in some ways. I'm like, here I am, I'm 100 years old. Are you kidding me? And my wife is 90? We do that to God, don't we? He's trustworthy, though. So let me give you a better idea, God. You ever do this to God? I got an idea. I'm not so sure about the promise you made, but let me help you out here. And as from Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall be. Isaac's not even alive yet, but God's already got his reality in existence. And see, that's the way God is. His promises are like they already came to pass. All we got to do is wait. You know, and I'm a very impatient person. Some of you might know that about me. And I can't wait. I want stuff to happen yesterday. Tomorrow is way too late for me. But sometimes you just have to wait. You have to wait because God is trustworthy. He will bring it to pass. So finally, in Genesis chapter 21, this promise comes to pass. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. That makes him trustworthy, right? And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And see how God emphasized that? Abraham called the kid, the one that Sarah bare him, just like God had said in the first place, he called him Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. I don't know if I'd want a kid when I was 100 years old. But not only is Abraham going to have a kid at 100, this child is going to grow up And there is going to be a nation that proceeds from this child. This is an amazing truth. And not only is that nation going to grow up and develop, but it's going to prosper. And God's going to take care of it. And God's going to provide for it. And we know the story of how it developed and sometimes how it didn't work quite the way God would have liked to have seen it work. But you know what? God is still faithful. God is faithful even though we break off, even though our minds get weak, even though we falter, even though sometimes we doubt his word, even though sometimes we might turn our back on him like the children of Israel did on occasion. He's still faithful. He still is going to bring his word to pass. No matter what he says, he's going to do it. Look at Joshua chapter 24. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat? This is God, man. If he makes a promise, even though it seems impossible to you, he's a God of bringing to pass the impossible. Guys, we're believers. That's why we're believers, because we believe God. And we're entitled to so much that God has made available to us. We're entitled to prosperity and health. He promised it. He's trustworthy. He will bring it to pass. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. So this is one record of one man and the results that this impossible promise brought to pass. In Genesis chapter 3, there's another challenge that God puts before himself. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you know, the whole thing with the fall and the disobedience and all of that. And then God makes a promise. He says, I will put enmity between thee. He's talking to the serpent. The serpent is the devil, right? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That enmity shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Whatever consequence is going to come, it's going to be negligible compared to the power of God. So in Luke, we see this promise fulfilled. Now, there's a whole bunch of pages in between. And there's a lot to this story. And it really would be great if you wanted to take the time and fill in the details. But I wouldn't even want to try to handle that for you. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The promise is in the process of being fulfilled. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I really just need to pretend I'm there. I need to consider what is going on in this. What if that happened to me? What would I do with that? You know, and sometimes it just helps to be able to identify with exactly what's in front of you. And when she saw him, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow, that is a mouthful. And here's this little lady, I don't really know much about Mary, I think she was pretty young though. And she's just receiving this from an angel. Wow. And she says, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, we do that. we try to, what are you talking about? That's not even real. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Listen to what he's saying to her. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Listen to what she says. Oh, and he said, then verse 36 says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So when you begin in your finite mind to reason the promises of God, say, no, well, in this case, God, it's impossible. Well, the Word of God says nothing is impossible. So all you got to do is believe that he's trustworthy. When you come to the conclusion in your heart that God is trustworthy, then you will begin to trust him, and then you will see these things come to pass without any doubt. It has to happen. Otherwise, he's a liar. If he says it and he doesn't bring it to pass, what does that make him? So you either got to believe God is trustworthy, or you have to believe he's a liar. There's no gray here. So Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. And that's cool. That's cool. She deemed God trustworthy. She believed God could do this. Wow. What are we looking for God to do for us? Is there a promise in God's word that lines up with it? Do you think he's trustworthy? He is. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I mean, some people have trouble with that. You know, and I don't really have problems with people who have trouble with that because they're not believers. That's why they're not believers, because they have trouble with things like this. We don't have any trouble with this, right? Anybody here have a problem with this? No. So then what about the things that God says for you in your life? Why wouldn't he be able to do those things and take care of them according to his word? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, and that which is conceived, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. See, there's just a whole lot of promises that go right down the line from Genesis 3:15 to get us to here. There's a ton of promises. There's prophecies. There's a lot of detail that had to be filled in for God to be able to bring this to pass. But guess what? He did it. He could bring the impossible to pass. You know, we say that sometimes with like, or I think it's sometimes, God can bring the impossible to pass. But when I need an impossible thing to happen in my life, or not even impossible, sometimes I'm like, well, how's God going to do this? This is impossible. Impossible is impossible, and God can work with impossible. And we have to understand that. It's not impossible for God to profit our lives. It's not impossible for God to heal us. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible for him. Shall bring forth son and cause you. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, but of the Lord by the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him his wife, and knew not her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. Now, you guys probably know a little bit about Jesus Christ, right? You know that he was born, and that he died, and that he was raised from the dead. Wow, raised from the dead. Who else was raised from the dead? There is nobody else. Jesus Christ is resurrected, sitting on the right hand of God. And you know, because of his death, resurrection, and his ascension, we have a special place with God. God's word has been fulfilled. His promise has been made sure. He is trustworthy. Look at Romans chapter 10. Impossible to our finite minds, yes, but not to God. Sometimes it takes time, but you know what? God's got a lot of time, man. You know what? We measure things. I really needed this job in September, or I needed this job last year. Well, you know what? If you're eating in October, you really didn't need it that bad. Because what you need is your sufficiency, right? Isn't that what you need? And that's what God's promises. He doesn't promise to get you the executive job for IBM or something. That's not in the Word. What the promise is your sufficiency. How are we doing? We okay? Everybody's eating. You all have a place to live, right? We're all good here. God is taking care of us, sometimes more than we really even know. Sometimes we don't realize what God is doing for us in our lives. Anyway, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Promise fulfilled, Genesis 3:15, we're all good here. We're saved, salvation, wholeness. God is trustworthy. He's put us in a place where we have Holy Spirit. You heard the manifestations. That shakes some people up. I don't have a problem with that. They're not believers. Or they don't believe in that aspect of God's word. But you know what? The more of God's word we believe, the more of God's word we'll receive. It's just as simple as that. It's really that simple. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Somebody once said that there's over 900 promises in God's word. I don't know 900. I don't know how many I know, and I would be embarrassed to say based on that count. But if you need something in your life, don't be foolish enough to neglect God's word. There is a promise specifically to your need, and he will bring it to pass. He has to. If he doesn't, he's a liar. If he spoke it, he's got to make it good, doesn't he? Just trust him with all your heart. Don't contaminate God, your relationship with God, with some stupid social thing that you developed in your life about who's trust. God is trustworthy. I don't care how you treat people, but God is trustworthy. Trust God. The way you socialize is your business, but trust God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The devil, remember in Genesis 3, 15, God spoke right to the devil. He said, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head, however that went, right? Here it is. Yeah, he was crucified. Yep. And the crucifixion was ugly. It was very ugly. It was. But you know what? He is now the head of all principality and power. And that includes the devil. That includes the adversary. We win. There's nothing out there that can defeat us. God will bring us through everything. And you know what? We're all really a testimony to that in one way, shape, or form or another. You know, we might not be the greatest believers in the world, but we're good believers, man. We love God and we believe his word. All we got to do is tap in more and more. That's our challenge. Just tap in some more. Get a little more out of it. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter. Chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're born again. Now, people have trouble with that, don't they? Born again. Are you a born again one? Oh. So complicated. It's not that hard. You're born. Now you believe Romans 10, 9, and 10. You get spirit. You have a relationship with God Almighty. You're born again. Why is that a problem? But you know what? It's okay. It's for people who don't want to see the greatness of God's word. It's okay, but we are believers, man. We are believers. We're born again of incorruptible seed. God has said it. That settles it. It's His word is yea and amen. We could trust Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength and know that He's going to bring His word to pass. 900 promises in the word. Find one. Find one that you need for your life. He is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. We just got one or two more here and we're done. 1 John chapter 3. You know, and we're human. I get that. I know that better than anybody. We make mistakes. We get weak. We get consumed by the things of the world. We get knocked around once in a while. It's fine. Just get back up and go for it. Let God lead the way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Not most. Like in all your ways except you know about your job, so you take care of that. In all your ways you acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Steps, what is it? We're not going back, so you can look it up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I don't know how many of you have sons and daughters, but what would you not do for your child if you had the ability? You know, if you make a promise, you keep it to the best of your ability. Now, you know, I would love to have been able to keep every promise I ever made to my kids. But you know what? Sometimes I just didn't have the ability. But God does. Sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This book is a love story. It's a story about God and His relationship with mankind. It's a story about God putting His heart on the line, putting His power into the efforts of bringing together a family, a group of people who He could call His very own, His children, and filling in details throughout the history of time with promises that He kept. Even when His children scorned Him, even when His people scorned Him, He kept His promises. He didn't let a word from His word fall to the ground. That is it. Do you think He's going to start now in your situation? Don't flatter yourself. God is not going to give up on us, man. He has put this thing in for us to enjoy. Romans chapter 8. This is where we close. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You have to remember about this love thing. You have to remember this is about God's love. And when you love somebody, you do anything for them. Tribulation. Anybody here have some tribulation on occasion? Mental pressure sometimes? A little bit? Once in a while? It comes. It happens. Distress. Persecution. I don't remember. I haven't been persecuted. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. But just in case you were, it's not going to separate you from the love of God. God's in this with you and us. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Promise. Promise. He's trustworthy. You have tribulation? Let God handle it. He made a promise that he, in this thing, you're more than a conqueror. You have distress? Give it to God. He made a promise that in this thing, you're more than a conqueror. You have persecution? It's the word. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That covers a lot of ground, you know. You just got to think a little bit. That covers just about all the ground that we are dealing with here. Right or wrong? Right?
Yeah.
That's just about everything. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and just in case he missed any. None of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing. So we get hung up on things along the way. And don't get me wrong, I am not... Look, we get hung up on things along the way. But God's word is true. He is trustworthy. There are promises in his word that pertain to the detail of each of our lives. I don't know how he does that, but he does. I'm a different person than you. I live in a different world. I have different circumstances. I have different opportunities. I have different problems. I'm different. But there's a promise for me, and there's a promise for you. And there's a promise for each and every person in this room. And then greater than that, there's a promise for each and every believer in the whole earth. That's God. Nothing's impossible. We just got to deem him trustworthy. He is trustworthy. He has proven himself time and time and time and time and time and time again. Wore this heavy shirt today because the winter's coming. I don't like the winter. But you know what? It's coming. I know it's coming. And so is the fulfillment of God's promise to you. It's coming. It's coming. It has to. He is not going to leave you standing out there high and dry. Just trust him. So that's about it.